You are listening to The Three Intuitive Healers with Heather Nicholson, Angela Johnson, and Stephanie Gonzalez. Produced by The Three Intuitive Healers Show. Visit thethreeintuitivehealers.com for articles and podcast shows discussing our personal insights and sharing our experiences with you. It is our belief that every human is an intuitive and every human has the capacity to heal. We'll take you along with us on a journey of self-growth and healing so you too can open your mind, heart, and life to the healing magic within. Thank you for tuning into the Three Intuitive Healers podcast show. I'm your host, Heather Nicholson.
Angela Johnson.
I'm Stephanie Gonzalez.
Today, ladies, I like to discuss hindering beliefs and lifestyles that we place upon ourselves. I was talking to Angela the other day, and you know, what if you could have whatever you want? We put people, our spiritual teachers, up on a pedestal, and then we go by what they say of... Right. Oh, if you drink, if you,
sugar,
yeah, sugar, caffeine, bread, carbs, it's all bad for you and you can't ascend. You can't expand into your consciousness. And, you know, I went through that. I went through that as I cut myself off first. It was, oh, you shouldn't have meat before you have your Reiki attunement. I was like, oh, no, I'm not going to have meat for more my Reiki attunement. And then that's when it was cut myself off from just like meat. And it was basically me giving my power away instead of me making the choice of, I don't feel right eating meat. It was somebody told me I shouldn't eat meat, so I'm not going to. And so, yeah.
You know what you're reminding me of when you say that? And I'm sorry, I think there might be a delay, so I apologize if I cut you off. The Hierophant card, I drew a version of it today. It's the old, like, when we receive the sacrament in church, we do it this way because this is what we're taught. And that's like, when you started saying that, even though we've talked about it so much, I've never really thought about it that way. Like, these are the new sacraments. These are the new, you have to hold your hands like this to have the Eucharist and all that. Stop.
And that works for each individual person. I haven't been a person that followed it. That's so shocking but that's where I have great resistance. But have you heard of Charlie Kelly? He's a medium from the UK, red hair, but he's great to watch because one, I really like his personality and style, but he'll tell you, I smoke, I'll drink if I want, I'll eat sugar if I want. I don't give a flying flip what you think spirit wants me to do. Spirit will talk to me. Spirit gives me what I need to do because my intention and my relationship is not got to do with how many peas and carrots I have and or the Twinkie that you're telling me I can't. You know, he's great that way. And he's just out, he's like, takes a walk and he's smoking and he's just like, spirit's right here, right now. I'll tell you anything you need to know. He's crunchy and he's just like, don't listen to that bullshit. This is the way it is. Do it your way. I love that. It's like, yeah, that's cool.
I love that. You know?
He just breaks out of the mold. He goes, they tried to put him in a mold, he talked about when he first started, because he's not prim and proper. He's not Tony Stockwell, who's more elegant in talking and how he talks spirit. He's just kind of rough. And he's like, hey, and that's me. And I still have a relationship with spirit and I still care and I still love, but my package is different. Well, I shouldn't say that. My outer is different.
I'm giving you a knowing look, Stephanie.
I mean, he bears it all. No. But anyway, no, it's a good reminder for us to, you know, and sometimes you go through phases. Maybe it was okay to be a vegetarian or to give up sugar. Maybe you had other benefits. But to think that if you have a Twinkie or a whatever sugar, that spirit's not going to contact you. I mean, that's just your own barrier, you know,
right,
and that's not fair to anybody. You know, everyone has a different experience of it.
And, you know, the most profound mystical experiences that I've had, or the most like closest I've gotten to, I think that's a galactic experience. Like the last time on that yellow energy, when I was lucid in my dream and I could feel it integrating. And this was real. And I remember telling Heather the next day and being like, and I had sugar that day, you know? So it's like, and that's happened quite a bit. I've had the most like crazy experiences while sugar was still in my system. So now I can't take it too far. I remember also talking to you, Heather, when I kind of went on a binge where, you know, it had been days and weeks of just having refined sugar, like cookies and all that. And my body just, take out the spirituality, my body just felt, ugh.
Sure.
And I was like, oh, I get it. Now I get it, when if you have too much, I can't vibrate at a higher vibration because I just feel gross. I can't concentrate. So that to me is also, that's just, okay, that's too far the other way.
And that's a consciousness in itself, right?
Yeah. And, but you know what, until I can cure, like, that's just, like when I put my hand in the fire, it burns me right now. When I have too much sugar, I feel sick, you know, not like when I was younger and I could handle living off of sugar, but it's that balance. It's for me. And I think everybody, you have to find where on the spectrum it works for you. And then that's your path and that's okay. And if Sandra Walter can be absolutely clear and, you know, go crazy with half an almond and then be satisfied, God bless. And I'm not saying that's true. I'm being facetious. That's great for her, but you're right. We're making dogma out of what other people are making as suggestions. We're turning into dogma and punishing ourselves with that.
Exactly. It limits you.
It does. And it makes me wonder if they're feeling, when you get gluttonous with sugar, are they feeling the gluttonous consciousness that they might be feeling with sugar and attaching sugar, the story, to what they're actually feeling as the, it makes, maybe. That makes, yeah.
Well, I would hope if a person's of good intention, I would hope they're just taking their experience and they're saying, gosh, this works for me. When I gave up sugar, when I gave up drinking or whatever the case, I got clearer. And that may be 100% true. I mean, you know, you don't doubt it. And so they want to explain their recipe to you.
Yeah.
But if you didn't have those hangups in the first place, if you didn't have those issues, then what it becomes is just depravity. And then you're then concerned. It becomes, see what happens. I think it even become it in that diet mindset. When you can't have something, you think about what you can't have too much, right? Yeah. And it gets in the way. You know, there may be days you don't think about sugar, but then that day where you do, oh no, I can't, because then spirit won't come. Oh no, I can't, because, you know, this is not,
I won't ascend.
Right. So then this is that you're building a new belief system, you know, and that doesn't benefit you in the long run. I've never had it. I don't drink very much at all. It's very, very social and once in a while. So I've never had a paranormal or spiritual experience while drinking, because it's just not, you know, something I do. But I'll tell you, I've been on sugar my whole life. There's probably like maybe on one hand times I wasn't on sugar, and I have had all my experiences, whether spirit, whether external, internal, all kinds of things, powerful, what I've seen, what I felt. And I've always had sugar, because I'm not saying that's for everyone, but you know, it's certainly not a barrier for me.
Yeah.
You know, if I could, I get cleaner without it. Well, yeah, that'd be, I see it as more of a physical thing that would benefit me more physically, but I don't believe one iota that sugar is going to stop me from spirit. I just don't, I don't see how it's even possible.
I love that.
I had to let that story go.
Yeah. I think,
but alcohol, I'm still iffy. It doesn't make sense to use alcohol, because I feel like it takes the experience.
You're not doing it right, are you then?
Yeah, yeah. Well, no. But I mean, for the spiritual experience.
You're not drinking the right wine.
Like if you're drinking and someone says, I want a tarot reading, it might be fun, like you say, to play with your friends, but a serious one?
Don't you think that
would kind of get in your way?
Yeah. And you know what? That has less to do with spirit. It has more to do with, I know my own cognitive abilities. Mm-hmm. Like tarot isn't
true.
No, I don't want to do it on that, because I'm not going to translate correctly what I'm getting, because I'm loopy and it's not. So no, I just, on those times where my friends are like, let's just drink, I just put the cards away. I was like, this is not happening. This is not happening. And not because of the spirits will come down in the wrong way. It's just, no, I don't want to get three sheets to the wind. Not that I do that anymore. I can't. It's funny. I will say this. Having Reiki in my life, and just over the years becoming more like, we're on the ascension path and all that, my tolerance for alcohol, I will have, to me, a glass of wine is like, you know, this much. For those at home, I'm like,
I have a glass of wine, a wide vase though. That's a wide vase.
It's this big. It's a foot wide, but it's only 2 inches deep.
It's a 25 pound fish. No. You mean a half a glass of wine?
I do like a half pour versus what I would get in a restaurant. Yeah. And that's good. And if I do more, then it suddenly tastes sour in my mouth. It's not even that I'll get buzzed, because I don't drink enough to get buzzed. I can feel it just turning sour. It's like, no, you've gone past what, I don't even want to say good for you. You've gone past your comfort limit and what works for you. Your body has what it needs. Drink tea.
I love that when the body rejects it. That's what I say. I can't imagine getting sick ever again, because my lips won't even, if it's too much, my lips don't even want it. It's just like, no.
It just kind of grows in your mouth.
I like that. It just becomes like you're done. Yeah. You know? And that's lucky I have that, but not everybody does. So
that's knowing the motivation behind why you're drinking.
Yeah.
So, you're just drinking to be social or to relax, because you do need to numb out a little. Like, you've had a week where everything's, it's okay to just have that little ritual of the glass of wine. That it's almost a mental thing. It's like, by having this wine, I'm now not a part of the world right now. But if you keep going and you're ignoring what your body tells you, and therefore you're ignoring what spirit's telling you, then you will get sick.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter how much.
Do you think, Heather, if you had a couple glasses of wine, just say even one. Let's not even go to one glass of wine. And like, then you had this great, you had a bottle, Heather, you know, one of those nights.
No, like on a Tuesday.
Come on.
But you had like this really amazing experience. Do you think you would knock yourself down on the legitimacy?
No. No. Okay. Now. So here's pull me another
commercial legitimacy.
No, but you know what? I have a friend who's a medium, and she says when she happens to actually have a drink or two, it's just her filters come off, and it's just like, blah, blah.
Your grandma hates you.
Oh my God.
So she doesn't refrain. Like when she gives readings and stuff, she kind of curbs what comes out. But if she's drinking, it's just like no filter, just here it is. And it actually pours in more for her.
That's a sensitive subject, right? Because some are so against it. Yeah. I was going to this group that was local here, and the very first time I went to them, it was a circle, and they were just going to be sharing. What was the intention there? Sharing spirit talk, if you will. And I walked in, never known these people, and right away they're like, "Okay, would you like some sangria?" Which I'm like, "No, I've never been in any kind of circle where people drank." And some of them had some wine, some of them had coffee, some have a whatever. And then we did this, you know, we did the circle. And at the end, then everyone was, "Oh, I'll have a beer, I'll have a this and that." And then they moved, and I went to them in a new place, and they started off the same. They were passing around sangrias, whatever. And for me, it just didn't resonate, because I'm not a drinker. You know what I mean? If I was, then I'd probably be more comfortable, but I'm not comfortable around people who drink a lot anyway.
Yeah.
Because I feel like it robs. That's my own, you know. And I'm not coming from a judgment for people. It's just my own belief system that it robs the genuine conversation. But some people need to. That's how they break the ice if they're scared. Yeah. So I get it. I have to work on my side of what it means to be around people that drink. If I'm not the one drinking, I feel like I'm the only one saying, "Come on, let's be serious. I am. Why can't you guys be?"
No, so but it's true. Yeah. It's true. When you're the sober person, I remember for a while I'd stopped drinking just to cleanse. And then I went out with my friends. So I was like the sober one. I was like, "Oh my God, this is hideous." Like being the sober person when everybody's like drinking to have fun. It's like, "Oh no, honey, I get it. I get that I'd be laughing at that right now if I was buzzed, but this is so not interesting." So and no knock on them, you know, they weren't doing a cleanse. Yeah. It was their Friday or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, what's funny is, so I have my 5-year diary, and on this day last year, first of all, this is the first time I hugged Grandfather Tree.
That's nice.
I put my heart to his trunk and the energy surged through me. My session, my Zoom session, was just drinking wine and talking.
On this day.
Day
in history. Here we go.
And then the next day, woke up stressed and beating myself up for having wine.
Oh, isn't that, I hope that's different now, a year later.
Yeah.
Okay, so where are you a year ago on your 5-year journey? If you had wine today, would tomorrow be a different entry?
I had wine yesterday, and I'm feeling pretty okay today.
Good. That's good.
But I will say, let's see. Yeah, I didn't say anything else about that, just that I hugged the tree again. I am in a better relationship with all of that now. Now, it does help that, and Heather has been instrumental in this. She's found me, like monk fruit is a substitute for sugar and I've cut out refined sugar altogether. And bread is a treat, and that works for me because otherwise my internal systems just get off. Mm-hmm. In terms of wine, because I think I've done so well with the refined sugar and the carb or just the bread, I'm more forgiving now with the wine. So I have my little glass of wine, and it's a treat. It's a ritual. It's like I'm done for the day. I can just sit in the room with Chad and have my wine, and I savor it. I really enjoy it. And then I put it away. And then the next day, you know, until the bottle's gone. So my relationship with wine is much better.
Oh, good.
Yeah, but that was a lot of, and I think Heather could attest, me beating myself up, her telling me to stop beating myself up, me ignoring her, and then just being like, you know what? I don't like the boomerang. I don't like the austerity. And yeah, maybe if I saw the face of God while conscious, it would inspire me to remain like cutting everything off. But I never have. I've had equally deep, if not deeper, experiences when I was allowing myself just to enjoy the eating and the drinking and not having any guilt or anything associated with that. So,
well, I don't know. They do wine and bread in many a church. So I don't understand why you cut those things out.
I'm Catholic. I should be allowed to have this stuff.
Cookies and wine. Well, I'm Catholics, they don't give you any wine. It's for the priest only.
No. Our church,
they let people have wine? Really? Yeah. Oh my
Maybe it was because I was in Kentucky.
Pass the bottle around? You know, what the heck? I've never seen such a thing.
And you know what? The wine, first of all, they made their bread. It was kind of like a hippie church. Mm-hmm. So the bread was like, oh. But the wine, it kept me away from wine for years.
Wasn't it like Chianti?
No, they made it themselves. Oh, they made their wine, I think, too. And it just was like...
Oh. Moonshine?
It just wasn't good. And I obviously... You know, I'm like an 8-year-old. Hopefully I don't have a refined palate for alcohol at that age.
Oh, this is a vintage year.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm just going to let this breathe, Father. Just hold on.
oh my God.
But now, you know, so it took me a long time to appreciate the wine, but yeah, we were boozing and carbing it up at the church at the Epiphany.
Yeah.
Interesting. That sounds like fun.
And Heather, why did you... for the most part, give up drinking.
Drinking wasn't my thing, amongst my friends, they were like, you're really fun to be around when you're drinking. Yeah. And I was like, well, what does that say about me when I'm not drinking?
And that's my next question. Were people always encouraging a drink because they thought you were more fun if you drank?
Well, I was definitely more outgoing when we were out socially, you know, like dancing and whatnot and just talking. But I'm loud. I'm a loud drinker. I'm like, ha ha ha. I'm very jolly and loud.
You're less inhibited.
I am.
Do you like that side of you? Do you like that you're like that? That you can be freer?
I don't.
No.
I mean, if you ask me now, I'm like, yeah. I never really thought much about it. Do I like myself more? No. Because I didn't do it. No, I just didn't like like if you drank too much. There was only one time in my whole entire life where I woke up still buzzed and I had to scale the wall. That was enough for me to leave drinking alone. Mm-hmm. That was way too much. No, thank you. Because I had to bake a birthday cake and I was just like, ooh, no.
Not fun, yeah.
No.
Especially when you're young, that's how you learn your limits, you know, like, right?
That was enough.
You cross that limit, that usually is pretty good experience to not do it for a while or at all.
Exactly.
I was going to ask, what other limitations do you think you've put on yourself from some of your mentors that are besides what you ingest, you know, physically, food and drink? Is there anything else that you've kind of maybe held yourself to be accountable to their way of thinking in order to work with spirit?
Limiting beliefs
that you needed to do something or not do something besides your food.
Oh, that's a good question.
Like, you know, do you have
vegetarianism? Huh. Vegetarianism started off as well.
Yeah.
You know, but now I don't want to eat meat just because emotionally I can't. Like something clicked over. I can't handle that. So, but that definitely started as
what about? Like how much you meditate? Do you feel like, oh my gosh, if I didn't do my 20-minute meditation a day, forget it. Now spirit's going to ignore me, or I didn't put in this amount of effort into my my Reiki, you know, I forget it. I've messed up here this day, or I'm falling short. Do you have some of those expectations on yourself?
I would put that expectation on myself, but it wasn't from my spiritual teachers or leaders. Mm-hmm. Like, you're not doing a good enough meditation. No, it was my own self.
Okay, your own self.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it was my own self. And I started off kind of hard. I mean, I was, mm-hmm. even in meditation, I would meditate morning and night. And I mean, it was just, usually people just kind of go into it. No, I was like, no, we're going to do this. We're going to meditate in the morning. We're going to meditate in the night. We're going to get this.
Screw my job. We're doing this. Yeah.
That's adorable.
Time to work. Time for family. Time for living. No. You turned into a monk right there in your day-to-day life.
And then after Angela helped me see a couple of them, especially with Emily Fletcher.
Oh, Emily Fletcher.
Yeah. And after she's like, look, you're trying to do the way of the monk where you get rid of your thoughts. She's like, knock it off. She's like, that's not how we are. We're thinking human beings. We're going to think. And I was like, oh, okay. So just, okay, the thoughts are there, and stop trying to chase them away, or, you know, be on myself like, oh, I'm thinking again. How dare I, you know? She just kind of taught you just to, it's okay, have the thoughts and let them flow in and out. And I couldn't quite get that, what people would talk about, flowing thoughts in and out. What does that mean? Because I was always chasing my thoughts, like, get out of here. So, but she helped a lot. And then I'm trying to think, is there anything else that there's limiting beliefs?
Did you get any overboard or
My name's Heather.
OCD with crystals, where you thought, okay, now I've got to put them here, I've got to carry them here, I need to, you know, how would you work with the crystal?
Oh yeah, I would have people, you don't have to put them in certain places. I always thought, oh, your rocks need to be close to you, so you carry them in your bra or your pocket. And they're like, it doesn't have to be that way. It could be in your purse, it could be within your vicinity. It's just your consciousness that needs to, you know, reach out to it. So I'm like, oh, okay. But I would always, I'd always carry a collection of rocks in my bra. So
like a little lumpy there, Heather. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Good luck trying to find a bunch of all of those. So
did you ever take them to the airport that way? In those,
no.
Since we're now x-rayed, no. You know, you want to explain that when they're like, either see a doctor or remove that potential threat. You know?
You're either a terrorist or a New Ager. We cannot tell.
You know, when I flew to, when I flew on the other side of the world into Taiwan, they asked that you do not bring crystals.
Really? Something. Who asked that?
Taiwan.
Your people?
Taiwan.
There's such a thing?
Yeah.
There is such a thing as saying, yeah. We as a country ask that you do not bring crystals.
Why?
Did you find out? What does that
mean? I don't know. And I accidentally left my rocks back at the hotel, and I was like, darn it. Oh, oh well. God. I hope the person never whoever cleans my room them, enjoys them.
Wow. I've never heard of such a thing. That's insanity.
Oh. Yeah.
Wow. Well, I can't go there.
No rocks in your pot.
So then you bring little stick figures, your little voodoo sticks. Like, hey, will this suffice? They're not crystals. Oh my gosh. Wow. How about you, Angela? Did you work with crystals or with meditation to that point too, where you were punishing yourself if you didn't do it right? Or
yeah, I mean, it's always, you know, meditation is, first of all, it's a great tool, but it's so pushed on you. You know, it's like this, you have to do this, you have to have this discipline. And so definitely that was drilled into me. And then my relationship changed with it over time when I sort of, one of my teachers gave me the concept of sometimes you can't formally sit on the mat. So you do the informal of remaining aware during the day as you go about. So it's like a constant meditation. You try to turn your entire day into a meditation, which is just being aware, you know. And Emily Fletcher, again, great. You can find her on YouTube. She does such a great job of putting the gun down, like, don't beat yourself up over this. She says you do meditation to get good at life, not to get good at meditation. So, and to me, the purpose of meditation is just for me to remember to be present and to have that moment, that gap between when a thought comes in and the action on the thought, you know, so that's what meditation does for me. So no, sometimes there will be a week where I can't sit down and formally meditate, but I'm doing it through the day as best as possible, which is being present every moment, being the observer as I'm talking to you right now, observing myself talking to you, you know, just being present that way has helped me not be so rigid with my, because it is, meditation is great. I don't want to poo-poo it in any way. It's so fabulous. But there are different ways of doing it, and don't get caught up in the form, which is kind of the theme of what we're talking about today, right? Don't get caught up in the form, get caught up in what the intention behind your desire to do this in the first place was. As far as crystals go, I love crystals. That's kind of what got me on the road of when I was told, yep, you should be a healer. And I was like, what kind of healer? And so that one of the classes I took was crystal. And I, oh my God, I was so addicted to crystals for a while. But I don't really have a set rule for them. I like to learn what they're good for, but I've never had a problem with breaking those rules. Mm-hmm. I don't, you know, same with Reiki, right? Okay, great. Show me the handholds. That's great. I'm probably not going to use them now, but I'm glad that I know them, because now I have to do what feels right for me and for my client in front of me. Oh, that is one thing. When we were talking about wine and stuff, I will say this, I will not give Reiki if I've had wine, because I have been at the hospital before and unknowingly worked on someone who had just come out of, I think, chemo. They were just a cocktail of chemicals in their body. And oh man, that sent me for a loop. And it's just this exchange of energy. So I've always been mindful since then, as I don't like to, especially if I'm working on someone with health issues, that is a time where I do like to be clean as possible and not have had wine previously, because I don't want to throw them off in any way, just because of my own, but that's based on my own personal experience. So that might not be true for you.
What about journaling? Have you held yourself up to that also, right? That phase?
There's so many freaking journals. So many. They're like abandoned children that just look at me like I'm a horrible mother.
Right? Started, not finished. Exactly. What year,
I think I have like 5 of them.
That's all. My desk has 5.
Yeah, amateur.
Like I had one I was going to start for dreams, and then right, I was going to write down what spirit told me in my journey, and then there was something else.
You've got a Reiki one. You've got your dream.
I have a Reiki one. Yeah. I started the 5-day journal, the 5-year journal, and I couldn't do that one either, and I was just like, oh man, like Angela's still pulling out her abandoned children. That's there. I think we're on what, number 12?
And then my latest one, and these are just the ones that are in this room.
This room, right? Yeah, because there could be some that are years old, you know, just all over the place. Yeah, this, you won't throw them away. One. Yep, beautiful. I love that color. And
there is, I know there's one. Oh.
So to do your memoirs, or to figure out how you were, is gonna first you're gonna have to try.
She's gonna need a whiteboard to start putting up pieces of paper.
A timeline. Oh,
it's gonna be looking like those Hollywood movies where you have string leading to somewhere.
And then, do you have books? Obviously, is that considered the same thing of journals when you're taking classes and you're writing notes? So that's another, you know, a book of, right? Yeah, those are journals that you got. Books,
I just started those notes. Seriously.
Yeah. Did you?
Because you know what? Some of it's like I am practice and whatnot. Uh-huh, and
right.
There's a sanctity to it. So I would put it in the fire and bank it and just let it go.
Really? Wow. Yeah. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's interesting. Cause like it served its purpose, but why do I need to hold on to that energy of what was, I've healed and moved on. That's a good point.
And then instead of just throwing it in the trash, I was like, you know what? Thank you for the time that we spent. Here you go. It back to wherever it needs to go.
That's nice. 14.
Oh, good grief. Look at that. Oh my goodness. And that's just in that room. That's in that room in that drawer.
That's in this room alone.
Yeah. Your husband would like his drawers back.
I know. And
his
right?
That's a, and you have your 5-year journal. Sheesh. Oh, that's right. 5 books 15. In one, right?
That's definitely
really 20, because that's 5 actual journals. 5 years. But that's cool. I like that 5-year journal. Oh. That is so
But mostly
funny.
For me, it's been food. Food really has been a huge one for me. It's just whether denying myself or feeling that before I healed myself with the wheat, dairy, and caffeine, it was just, it was rough. I was just getting to a point where I felt like I just couldn't eat anything. And then I had the spiritual aspect of it. We talk about the physical, but I had the spiritual side coming in when I was like, you know what? No, forget it. I don't want to be vegetarian. I'm going to eat my meat. And that's when I was like, after Reiki sharing, you remember we went out and we had something to eat. So I had 3 consecutive days where I ate meat. And then each night I dreamed about how the animals were treated and what was happening to them. And some of them were not treated nicely. And I just, the last one swore me off of meat completely. And then I tried to go back a couple of years ago and tried just to eat fish. And then I remember getting migraines. I physically got migraines from eating salmon and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then I talked to a medical medium, and she said that my body has a problem tolerating omegas. So that's why I was getting the dump of omegas into my system, and it wasn't working out well. So I was just like, forget it. I walk away from meat. And then it turned into, now if I think about it, I feel so bad for animals. I'm just like, nope. And I was like, well, what if I just had a little bit of fish here and there, you know, a white fish. And then something in me is just like, no, nope. That's a story that we're keeping. I'm like, okay. I, as a spiritual soulful being, is still wanting to hold on to that one. So I said, okay, we're still holding on to this one, but food has been a big
same thing. Cause I will crave meat and I'll think, okay, what nutrition do I need? Cause anytime you crave food, it's usually a nutritional deficiency.
Exactly.
And I the minute I think of that animal, I just cannot. And I think, well, I'm not attached to fish, but you know, I think if I was ever to break, I'd be pescatarian and I would be a fish. I wouldn't be a fish. I would have fish. What about you, Stephanie?
Well, I just would love to remind everyone that, you know, what works for one person is not the cure-all for everyone else. So we're certainly no judgment on anyone that eats meat or doesn't eat meat.
You do not at
what's
all.
Right for you, right?
Yeah.
And at this point, yes, I do eat meat. I understand 100%. I love animals dearly. I understand what you're saying. And I do not purposely watch those shows that tell you where meat comes from, because I don't even want to feel it. But at this time, you know, I don't have any dietary issues with how I process food. If I did, I would obviously be changing, you know, quite a bit. So right now, it's not a conscious thing. I don't think of it as suffering of animals. And that might be because of denial, or it might be because I just kind of subscribe to everything has a purpose, everyone has a purpose, and you know, that's where I'm coming from. So it helps me not blame and not feel, right? It's because I have that same thought process for people, or you know, what we're doing here on the planet. So
I have the same belief, Stephanie, for me as well, for animals. Yeah, right. They chose to come here as well.
And,
so
and
they
sacrifice,
know
right. They're, I mean, and I wish you could say it was all humanely done. You know, I don't believe it is by any means. But I do believe animals have a consciousness and they feel pain. Absolutely. 100%. Yeah. And if I were to see it in person, what was done, maybe that would change, you know, what
I'll be more
I
than happy to share with the dreams with you.
Do not want to see those. No.
You know, I could probably, like, my husband watches those Alaskan shows where they go and they hunt their food. Like, yes. If I was in that situation, I would not feel bad, because that circle of life, right? That's full of respect and reverence, and everything's used, that whole thing. Like, that to me,
well,
I wouldn't.
Don't you think you'd have to grow up that way? Not Angela right now. Angela going right now to Alaska and hunting. You think you could do that?
Oh, I'm not saying I was going to be the one who's going to hunt. I could sit in the cabin and eat the food that was hunted way.
For the sake. Okay.
Because, you know.
It was sustenance at that point, right?
It's done respectfully. It's done as a part of a circle of life versus
hunting
here in Pasadena. Right? We don't hunt here in Pasadena.
No, we don't at all. And if I was to think about the pain and the suffering Then I just kind of see it as, where does it stop? You know, where does it stop? I mean, you're taking chicken eggs, you're chopping up salad, a little garlic, you know, that was, did it feel pain? I don't know.
It can't move, you know?
So that's where I just like, okay, I need to stop it. And then they say, you know, there's that push maybe to eat more insects. Again, you're live, you know, creatures and they have protein. I mean, where does it end? So for me at this point, I don't restrict anything based on, because I don't feel anything negative towards it. And I mean negative in the sense that I'm doing wrong or making a mistake. So, or hurting something. So in the future, that may change. I mean, I personally think if we had to become a vegetarian, that really wouldn't be a problem for me. You know, I probably would miss meat in the beginning, but I try to have a vegetarian lunch every day, vegetarian breakfast every day. I eat usually some meat at night. And if I didn't, I would just learn how to cook in a way that I would not miss that meat. And I think it would be totally fine.
Yeah. It's all about the nutrition.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. My body had to let me know that it needed some form of protein. So this is where I started eating eggs again. And so it's like, I had to listen to my body and also from, you know, a spiritual aspect. And cause we're such a dimensional human being, you know, this is where I had to learn to also listen to what my body needed. Cause my body's like, look, lady, you need to eat some form of protein and it's just not plant-based protein. And I said, okay, let's compromise. You know, if I'm not eating meat protein, I'll eat eggs. So when I don't eat enough eggs, I'll get dreams of me scarfing down tons of eggs, and then I know my body's like, hey,
it's time.
Exactly. Or I'll have dreams of steak and then I know I'm low on iron.
That's interesting.
That's when the like the Whopper commercials start looking good, I'm like okay, I need iron. And then the cravings go away. You know
what you need.
So what would be chicken? Because when I cut up chicken for my family, I pull apart the chicken for my family, you know, and I help cook, you know, the vegetarian cooks the meat meals here, but so like, what's chicken? I have no idea what chicken has to offer, but I look at the juicy chicken, I'm like, damn, I could have some of that, but no I can't.
I wonder if it's healthy fat, because I've been craving that juicy chicken. Well, like when you would get it fresh from Ralph's when it was cooked, and the next day when it cooled down, it was never the same. Yes. Just that. Oh, and yes. I'm focusing on the juice of it. So I was wondering if I needed that sort of fat, because
interesting. You know?
Could you guys have, like, if your soups have chicken broth? Do you just use vegetable stock? Okay, so vegetable no animal stock. Products.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
But, you know, for that reason, I can't be vegan, because I do need eggs. I do need the butter. I do need dairy. I think the next thing I'd like to cut out is probably milk, just because I do, my nose completely, and cheese. I'm addicted to cheese. My nose, my sinuses completely stuff up. That's my reaction to, I guess, lactose. So if I could cut back on that, but I'm not beating myself up right now. And I make a point of getting, you know,
do you do almond milk and stuff, cashew milk? And no. Do you drink milk by itself, or you put it in your coffee or something?
I put it in my tea.
And your tea and milk. Is that very British? I don't know.
My grandmother was British. Yes. So black tea and milk. Mm-hmm. And when I was younger, it was really just a conduit for sugar. Mm-hmm. It was like, and then 5 tablespoons of sugar. Now it's just like a tablespoon of honey. Tea. Yeah, it is. And I would have like 20 a day, no lie, and be like, no, I have no problem with sugar.
What about you guys, the spiritual aspect over food, of like praying over food? Because in Reiki, we're told to Reiki our food when we eat it. What about you guys? Did you ever have to do that or felt you need to?
I do it naturally.
Yeah. I think, you know, just as a whole, that I even have the abundance type thing, but it's not like I need to clear it. Like, no. I'm worried about the energy, because some people are. They're worried about if this animal suffered, and you told the adrenaline or whatever's on the animal.
I used to do that.
Yeah. But I don't see it as a living thing, because again, that might be a detachment, you know, that might be how I'm able to just consume it And I just give the thanks for the abundance of it all.
That's nice.
I think it takes away the relationship, and it doesn't mean, you know, I mean, I know it's kind of an avoidance because I don't want to understand the pain and the suffering, but I'd also don't want to be dwelling on it, you know, because, you know, where do you end at some point? It's attached. Everything's attached to everything. Right. So I just don't want to go down that road. I grew up, we used to fish because we went camping a lot, and our grandfather taught us how to fish and how to gut a fish, how to dehook it and gut it while it was alive. And it was no problem as a child. I went back as a young adult. Yeah.
Angela's making the sad face.
I know. You just didn't think about it.
You don't think about it.
But when I went back in the 90s, as a young adult, we went fishing and I caught a fish. And it was a hold. And this is before I was really into any kind of consciousness. And holding that fish and seeing the little thing struggling and taking the hook out, and it swallowed it too deep. So it was not a lip, you know, back in the day, there's a lot of different hooks now. Back in the day, it swallowed a treble hook, it was done. And I just remember the sadness and just pulling out this hook, and this fish was kind of small. And I never fished again. It was just like, you know what? I love fish, but I don't want to catch them anymore. I don't want to have anything suffer, you know, pull out its gut. No. And so that is interesting how it just changed on its own. But it didn't stop me from eating fish, mind you. It's just, I don't want to catch them. I don't want to hurt anything.
I used to catch fish as a children, as a child.
Could you do that now? Camping. I imagine. No way.
No, I couldn't do it now. Yeah. But, you know, I used to be the kid. My mom had a picture of me with a peanut butter and jelly sandwich in one hand and gutting a fish in the other. So, I mean,
because you just don't know. You're just like,
You don't relate to it having any pain or suffering or consciousness or anything.
Well, and as a Catholic, every Sunday I went into a room with a dead person nailed to the wall. So I was a little desensitized.
Oh my God.
I never thought of it until my baby brother, his friend who was Episcopalian, was horrified when he came to church with the family one Sunday. He was like, what? I mean, he didn't say it as he was a child, but the words in his mind were something to the effect of, what the hell is that on the wall?
A crucified man, usually with a hole in the side, right?
Right, stab, bleeding.
Nailed hands, nailed
bleeding.
And then bleeding, yeah. Crown of thorns, so blood's running down the face.
Yeah, it's like, oh, Zach, don't worry. Pretty soon we're going to eat his blood, drink his blood and eat his flesh. So you have a problem with the wall beings.
And yet the Wicca and the pagans are the bad ones. Go figure that one, right? Oh my God, please. Isn't that just ridiculous? We're just talking about the ideology, you know, that we never questioned. And again, if that's what you follow, that's fine. You have a right. But as we look back now, and we see what we were able to just accept and not question. And yet now the work that we're doing is sometimes very judged, right? From other people think that Reiki is some voodoo stuff and working intuitively is conjuring spirits. It's just a fear-based ideology. Yeah. And yet, again, you don't look behind you what's on the wall. It's just how we can become blind, you know, to what other people tell us. So it's very good to question, always.
Yeah. You have to recenter. You have to, okay, what is this? Is this coming from outside or is this coming from within? Is this something that I feel compelled to do because I want to get closer to the divine? Or is this a religious hack that somebody's told me, oh, you do this and you get close to God. And great, try them all out, but then do what you are instinctively, I mean, you are God. You know how to get back home. You know, just listen to yourself and be patient and try it. And if it doesn't work, put it aside.
100%, you know, and that's with everything, right? Not just the ideologies with we're talking about with the animals, you know, if you see something in an animal and it means you don't want to, you no longer want to consume animals, then honor that. If that's what you feel, regardless of what other people tell you, you know, it's your decision, try it out and you can change it. No one says just because you said you were a vegan or vegetarian, you can't ever go back. See what works for
exactly.
You, right?
Yeah, there's multiple times I went from being vegan to vegetarian to pescatarian, then back to vegan, then now I'm vegetarian. And my family can't keep up with me. They're like, you're just eating fish. And I was like, look, I'm not eating fish anymore. So, well, why not? And I was like, I don't expect you to understand. Just respect my wishes.
Trying to find what works with you, body, mind, and spirit.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. Test it like a mattress.
I love that. When I was eating meat, I would, you'd asked if we Reiki food. I just kind of naturally have always sent things energy, and that include my food. And when I was trying to bridge that gap of going from eating meat to vegetarian, I would just not even Reiki it. I would say a prayer. I remember saying, I would say, I see you. I witness you. Thank you for this sacrifice.
I like that.
Yeah. And then I would eat it. But then I would it was getting to the point where I just couldn't. I couldn't separate it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But again, you know what? Everybody's different. Everybody's here to have a different focus.
Absolutely.
You know, so if you can do your work and be a good person and you like meat, then don't beat yourself up.
You like sugar, don't beat yourself up. You like caffeine,
right?
You're gonna be okay.
Right. It's exactly. It's just our different expression, experience, interpretation as we're here on earth. You know, we all don't have to be the same, and we all tend to want to think we need to be like other people for whatever reason, right? I mean, from the moment we're young, we're emulating our parents. And then from there, we're emulating our social group, right? At school, you want to be like them. It doesn't even probably come to our mind till we get older that who am I and why wasn't I ever okay with being myself? Always so much imitation, you know, of someone else, of something else, of how they do it, instead of just standing up in who you are and say, this is the way I do it. Yeah. Like it or not, this is the way I do it today, and it may change tomorrow. That is such freedom. That is such freedom. And sometimes we don't find it, you know, till we're much older, but at least we find it, I hope.
It is neat when it's unearthed, when you think you have it. I remember taking a class with William Lee Rand, and everybody was like a 3-day class, and everybody's like, because there's several activations, right? So we would talk a while, and then everybody would lay down, and you'd get the attunement or whatever. So people were like, oh, I saw Jesus, I saw dolphins, and I just wasn't. And they were thinking, oh my God, it's because I had fried chicken at lunch. Like, I really was like beating myself up.
Right. It's gotta be a reason. Gotta be a reason, huh?
Jesus comes to a lot of people over the millennia, like a lot of people who have done a lot of things. I don't think he's gonna cut out me for a fried chicken lunch. It just doesn't make sense, but yet, I was bummed. Like I was like, oh, I blew it. I knew it. I blew it. But
so
looking back on that, it was neat to realize, oh, okay, that little bit of punishment is still there. I thought I was healed of that. Mm-hmm. Okay, good to know. Thank you. I know you're there to try and help me, but we're gonna retire you because I'm choosing to think differently now. So it is cool when it comes up. These little like, that's what I think. That's what I believe. Wow.
So. See, I never had restrictions like you both have had with food or meditating or journaling. I've never held myself up to those standards, but where my block has been is why now? Why did it get turned on to this point? So that becomes, so when my intuitive work started happening, that's where I just kind of panicked into, not that I wasn't doing enough to keep it going, but why did it turn on and will it turn off? See, that became my, like, these people were born, well, obviously I was born with it. These people did it from, you know, 6 years or on, or it never stopped, or it was constantly showing itself. So for me, that became my trying to emulate was, I've skipped a middle point, a chunk of my life where I couldn't, there was not a lot to show for the intuitive work. So that became my, how do I catch up? How do I go to the past and make it thread together? And that's been my biggest thing that I've had to, my own block, I've had to come in acceptance of and say, you know, why not? It is now. You weren't ready then. You were more ego then. You were fearful then, whatever the case was. It doesn't matter. It's
what
here
if,
now.
What if you were strong enough not to have it until now?
Absolutely.
And you just turned it on?
Absolutely. But the good part about that is that, again, it was a day where I had sugar, a day where I had caffeine, a day where I, you know, a life where I wasn't even meditating, and it was there. So that's why I don't have those blocks that I hold myself to, because it was just there. And I had done, you know, according to some of your checklists, everything you shouldn't do, and it was still on. So. But then their fear was, could it just turn off at any time, right? So then it's grappling, like, to go back to, what did I, you know, how did I even get to this point? So that's been my block of not trying not to lose it when it just appeared.
I'm working through ice right now, having cold refrigerated stuff like the Ayurvedic side. I was like, is that something I learned, or is that truth? Is that truth with
extra
the
ice in everything I drink?
I know you do.
Oh, and I can't do that. It just makes my teeth hurt. Oh, I have sensitive teeth. So
yeah. I remember Deepak Chopra talked about you should have only room temperature water. It's really hard on the body. Yeah. And I look at it as, hey, if I'm not moving and my body gets cold from the inside out, that's calories burned. So I will do whatever I can.
There you go.
To make everyone try to burn something.
And you have to remember, you're German lineage. You know, you have a different set of genetics and family history. You know what I mean? So all that Ayurvedic stuff is awesome, but it's also meant for a different part of the world. And I think a lot of times it can be beneficial. It's not going to match up completely. It's just not. So, I never heard about that, about the water or the ice cold or whatever.
It's your organs and your body works harder on processing the food. All right, ladies, I think that's all the time that we have today. We like to thank the listeners for tuning into the Three Intuitive Healers podcast show. We hope you're able to find the healing magic within. Thank you for listening to us on the Three Intuitive Healers podcast show. Remember, when we open ourselves to healing, we positively affect our environment. This podcast represents the opinion of the Three Intuitive Healers and their guests to the show. The content should not be taken as medical or psychological advice and is for informational and entertainment purposes only. Each person is unique, so please consult your healthcare professional for any medical questions. Views and opinions expressed in this podcast are our own and do not represent that of our places of work. While we make every effort to ensure that the information we share is accurate, no guarantee is given regarding the accuracy of any statements or opinions made in this podcast.